It's going to be on the people captain. The people need a captain. Turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 22. Now, when you read about the life of David, you see David was destined to become king over Israel. Now, remember the story given to us by Samuel the prophet. Samuel the prophet goes to Bethlehem. And there you're supposed to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, who had seven sons. Well, six of them show up. And Jesse, no doubt, thought David wasn't even worthwhile being there. And after they all go through and they're all rejected, Samuel looks at Jesse and says, "Hey, do you have anybody else?" Now, he knew the Lord could not be mistaken. One of those sons had to be anointed king over Israel, yet all six were rejected that were there. And then he goes, "Yeah, I have one. He's over there tending my sheep." He says, "Well, call him. We're not going anywhere until you call him." And so David comes, and he is anointed with oil by the prophet Samuel to be king over Israel. Now, from the time of David's anointing to the time when he actually reigned over as king of Israel, David had to go through many trials and many heartaches came into his life. Now, God has a definite way of preparing people for what he prepares for them to do. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I happened to be a fire inspector. And I was glad to get off the pumpers and all the fire trucks and just be an inspector. Well, you know, one of the things an inspector had to do is they had to speak before people. You know, I had to do fire extinguisher demonstrations, and I had to go to homes and tell people about fire safety and all this. Well, you know, one of the things I had a fear of public speaking. Anybody else have that? Yeah. And so, you know what? I was lost and undone, and yet God had me doing this public speaking, and it was, you know, trying for me at the first couple times, and then I got used to it. Then I got born again, and God called me to preach. Now, that helped me get over my fear of speaking. But even though that first sermon I ever preached in front of the church, I'll tell you what, my knees were shaking, my palms were sweating, my stomach was doing gymnastics. And you know what? I was nervous as all could be. And if someone in the crowd would have said booed, I would have collapsed. And I told them everything I knew three times over, all in 17 minutes. That was my start. But you know what? Even today sometimes when I'm getting ready on Sunday morning and I review the sermon, I still get nervous. And I've been doing this for well over 30 years now. But I still get nervous. But thank God he prepared me for public speaking before I ever became a preacher. You know, most people think that what they're going through is for the most part without meaning or significance. We will learn someday as we look back on our lives that all things work together for good and for God's glory. Now, he allows certain things to touch our lives because his design is to teach us to be a help, to be an encouragement and a blessing to others by telling them that our God is able. He can take anybody and use them. Amen? Now, in the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel, we find David on the run. He's going back to the area where he lived as a boy. And the Bible says this in verse 1 through 4 of chapter 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, "Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me." And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. Now, look at these guys. They were distressed. They were in debt. They were discontented. And yet the Bible tells us David became captain over them. You know, people need a captain. People need a leader. You know, not everybody is called to be a leader. But if you're not, you ought to be a great follower. But you know what? When you see God's design for the home, there needs to be a leader in the home. Now, who has he designated to be the leader in the home? It has to be the husband or the man or the father. You know, kids need a leader. They need their father. You know, so many today don't have a father in the home, and it's a tragedy. You know, government needs, or people, citizens need a leader. And it's a crying shame when we got poor leadership. Things really go down the tube, don't they? And you know what? We need leaders in the church. We need people who are going to stand for the truth and people who are wise in the Word of God. But we need leadership in every aspect of our life. David became a captain to these 400 men. All of them were distressed, debtors, and discontented. Yet God raised up from these men the most mighty army Israel would ever have. God can do a lot with people who are distressed, in debt, and discontented. You know, do you know that all people have something in common? Every one of us. And it's not just sin. We all know we're all sinners, right? But you know what? We all need the Lord. Every one of us. I don't care who you are, where you're from, how much education you got, how much money you got in the bank. We all need the Lord. Now, there's two different groups of people. There's people who know they need the Lord and those who do not know they need the Lord. But the truth is, everyone needs the Lord. Some people just don't know it yet. Now, among those who need Him, there are two groups. Those who act upon that truth and trust Him for what they need, and those who simply think about how bad off they are, how much they need God, but they never act upon that need. Isn't that sad? Now, this crowd came together, and they rallied around David. He becomes their captain. Now, in the Bible, we find Old Testament pictures of New Testament truth. David is often a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus is a captain of our faith. Amen. And you know what? People should rally around Him. You know, hey, most of us know what it's like to be distressed. Most of us know what it's like to be a debtor because we all sin and we're a debtor to the Lord. Most of us, if you're honest, you find out, you know what? You got discontented in sin. It only brings pleasure for a season. And then all of a sudden, you know what? That season's over and you become what? Discontented. And like those men rallied around David, we ought to rally around our Savior. As a matter of fact, Christ is waiting for us to come to Him. Did He not declare, "Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." Just as David made Himself available to those 400 on that day, the Lord Jesus makes Himself available to all of us. And yet some of us don't come to Him. Now in the 9th chapter of Matthew, we catch a glimpse into the heart of our Lord. And we read this in verses 35 through 38. Notice what the Bible says here. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." You say, why would He do that? Well, you know what? He came seeking and saving that which is lost. They needed the gospel if they were to be saved. And it goes on to say, in healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Moved with compassion. You know, there's been a time or two since I've been here, I've looked over this city and my heart was broken. I see the city lights of all the homes, and I think to myself, this city needs to get the gospel. And yet so many of us, we do nothing about it. You know, you can be moved with compassion, but you know what? Compassion actually does something. We need to do something about the condition we find people in. Jesus was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no what? No leader. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, I think a lot of us don't pray that prayer that he would send forth laborers into harvest, and the reason is he may want us to go. Because I think if we're going to pray, he's going to say, you know what, I already gave you a command. Why don't you just go and do your part? Now, the Bible says when the Lord Jesus saw the people, his heart was moved with compassion. He said they were like sheep that had no shepherd, no captain. Does it occur to you that whatever you are going through, God wants you to go, he wants to go through it with you? He does say he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, does he not? David's on the run. Where does he go? Just like a lot of criminals go. They go back to mama's house, don't they? But he's on the run. So he goes back to his hometown. He finds a hole in the earth that we would call a cave, and it's a place of refuge for him. When these people heard that David was in the land of Judah, they started coming to him. And by the time they were finished coming, David had 400 of them gathered, and David became their captain. They desperately needed some leadership. Saul was actually a very poor leader. And that's why these people were no doubt in distress, in debt, and you know what, discouraged. And you know what? The Lord was the answer that they needed. We need to allow him to be our captain. Now, if you never trusted him as your Savior, you need to ask him to forgive your sin and by faith trust him as your Savior. Now notice, the captain and his family. The captain and his family. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, the Bible says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Now in the story of David and Goliath, remember David showed up in the camp of Goliath? And Goliath comes forth when David is there, and he's taunting the army of Israel. He's mocking the God of Israel. And you know what? David's going, man, what is going on here? How come somebody ain't taking this loudmouth overstuffed Philistine out? He's getting a little upset, isn't he? And then what happens? His oldest brother says something to him. His old brother kind of puts him down, doesn't he? Says, what are you doing here coming running your mouth? Why aren't you back watching those few sheep of dads? You come in here with all your bravado. What are you doing? Why don't you just drop off those 10 cheeses and go on home? He put David down pretty good, didn't he? Well, they had a family feud over his coming. And, of course, God used David to deliver Israel from that Philistine giant. Well, after the victory over the giant, you would think, man, everybody's excited. David's the man. He delivered the army of Israel. Matter of fact, all the women got together. They were parading around singing, David has slain his 10,000s, but Saul his thousands. Now, just think, if Saul, who was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel, what if he went out there and took out that giant? Don't you think they'd be singing about him? But Saul didn't go. He was scared. And David takes matters into his own hand, asks God to help him out, and goes slays that giant and takes off his head. And he delivers the nation of Israel. And guess who happens to be jealous? Saul. You know, he probably went home that night after the victory and after those women were singing the praises of David and looked at his wife and said, oh, you know, they sang about David 10,000 and me, they only ascribed 1,000. And she probably, like Jezebel, just soothed him. Now take care of him, honey. You spineless wimp, she probably thought. But anyways, that's all in the Hebrew in the Old Testament. But that's when his trouble started, didn't he? Now the king's jealous of him. Well, the king didn't need to be jealous. He could have went forth. He could have defeated Goliath if he relied on the Lord like David did. But he didn't do it. You know, that jealousy is a cruel green-eyed monster, isn't it? Boy, it's horrible in any relationship. That is something that doesn't need to rear its ugly head. Well, it was after that victory, David started having trouble with the king. Now, no doubt, when we read this portion, David's heart is broken. King Saul is chasing him like some kind of wild animal trying to kill him. Matter of fact, at one time he says, hey, why are you chasing me? I'm just a flea. But kings chase fleas, don't they? Well, during David's trouble, his family forgot about all the past problems. They gathered around him, and David was glad to see anyone who would be a companion to him. From what you know about his life, I'm sure David was especially happy to see his family by his side. You know, I think some of us take our families for granted. I mean, some of us have, you know, let it be said, we don't have family reunions, we have relative nightmares. You know, one of the things that I appreciate, you know what, is my family. I could rely on any one of them at any time, couldn't I, Connie? And they would help me. Now, that's amazing. And you know what, when I was there when my mom passed away and we were all together, it was so amazing to hear people talk about what she had done and the family that we have. And I was like, man, I didn't know I had such a great family. I really didn't. I took them for granted. And I'm thinking, man, there's a bunch of messed up families out there. Brothers and sisters not getting along. Parents and children not getting along. I mean, it's just a hot mess out there. And I thought to myself, boy, God forgive me for that. I should never take them for granted. You know, I remember when we were little kids, we were in grade school. There was a bully there that threatened my older brother. And you know what happened? All of us kids banded together and we walked home with my brother and we were ready to fight. He said, well, I don't think you ought to fight. Well, then don't do it. Take your whooping. But I'm telling you, you know what? I remember that. to this day. And it meant a lot to my brother. But you know what? Family ought to stick together. We ought to love one another. I mean, what's with the division? I don't get it. Well, anyways, I'm sure David was glad to see his brother show up. Throughout all of life, it's good to have your family. And it's especially good to have them when you're going through a tough time. Now listen, some don't have good family relationships, and it's because of you. Now you want to blame everybody else in the family, but it's you. You know, when we have a get-together in my family, they're glad to see me. They are! How's it when you walk in? Do you get the cold shoulder? Do people even talk to you? That's family. Pretty sad, isn't it? Maybe it's because something you did. Well, I know what it really is. The glory of God and your holiness just shine so bright, and they can't be in your presence any longer. That must be the case. You say, preacher, you're lying. I'm just exaggerating. But you know what? Family should be there for each other. Especially when going through difficult times. Then we see the captain and his followers. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. These were David's followers. These were the nucleus of him becoming king. These guys. Now, it's always amazing to me what God can do with someone's life. You know, sometimes back in, you know, years ago, I used to read a lot of biographies of Christian people. And I would see what they were and what God did with these people. You know, I remember reading about D.L. Moody. I mean, he got saved as a young boy. He was a shoe salesman. Goes to Chicago, and you know what? He shook two continents for God, both England and America. Just a guy that didn't even have a fourth grade education. And I remember he didn't even speak proper English. He was speaking at a church in England, and this guy comes up to him and says, you know what? It's pronounced Daniel, not Dan'l. He says, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't pronounce it properly. He says, but you know, I'm using the English God's given me, and he's doing a wonderful work through me. Pray tell me what you're doing with your proper English. You know, you read about Billy Sunday. Anybody ever hear about Billy Sunday? He's known for his sawdust trails. He used to be a former baseball player. And he became an alcoholic, a drunk, terrible drunk. Got saved at the Pacific Guard Missions in Chicago. And became an evangelist where 1 million people were said to walk down those sawdust aisles trusting Christ as Savior. Billy Sunday. So, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing with it? I mean, if we think we're doing something for the Lord by taking up 18 inches in the pew, we're sadly mistaken. You know, God can use anyone. Have you ever been distressed? Have you? Yeah, it's not a pleasant experience, is it? Have you ever been in debt? Sure. That's not pleasant either, wondering how you're ever going to dig yourself out of that. How about being discouraged? Yeah, I get discouraged once in a while. Not too long, though. And I don't know why. I go to bed happy as a clam, and I wake up and I'm discouraged. It's like, what happened in the course of the night? But we all get that way, don't we? But you know what we need to do during that time? We need to go to our captain. He can make things turn out right. Often when people have problems, they do find their way to the Lord. And here's the thing. Why don't you go to Him instead of everybody else? You know, a long time ago I learned, and I'm thankful for the lessons I've gone through. But I've learned to trust the Lord. You know, there was times in our life that we had nothing. We were wondering how we're going to pay the bills. And you know what? I could have called family. Could not. I could call my sister. I could have called my brother. I could have probably called my parents. They would all bail me out. But I didn't. I realize there's a Father in heaven who's got more than all of them combined and everybody else. Why can't I just go to Him? Why won't He meet the need that I have? And He did. Time and time again. One time we had a nickel in our checking account. A nickel. And we hadn't even paid our mortgage. He said, what do you do? Well, I called up the big money people in the church, like John and Mary Lee, and had them pay for me. Nobody ever knew about it. They do now because I use it as an illustration. But nobody knew what we were going through at that time. You see, I don't get behind this pulpit and I don't beg people to make up for what, you know, lack we have. I just realize there's a God in heaven who can provide. I'm not going to go around poor mouthing, letting everybody know how bad I got it. You say, well, preacher, you know what? Maybe you ought to let people know your need. Why let the one who can meet the need? I let him know. Because you know what? Most of God's people say, I'll pray for you, brother. When all the while they have the means to meet that need. Yeah, I know how that people are. But I'm telling you, when you're in debt, when you're discouraged, when you're discontented, go to the Lord. Won't He lift your spirits? Won't He meet the needs you have? Can He knock off the diss and give you courage? I think so. And then we read of the captain and his faith. David had faith in God. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, the Bible says, and David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. Why would he go to Moab? They weren't supposed to even be in the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations, basically meaning never. Why Moab? Well, listen. How many here know the story of Ruth? Okay. That's an Old Testament book, isn't it? And during the time of Judges, there happened to be a famine in Bethlehem. And who goes down to Moab? Ruth and what? Her sons? Not Ruth, Naomi. Thank you. Yeah, stay out of my preaching. I'll correct myself. And if I don't, you ought to know who I'm talking about anyways. Yeah. Hopefully you read it. But anyways, Naomi goes down there with her husband and two boys. And those two boys marry what? Two Moabite women. One comes back with Naomi. Why she did, I don't understand. Because she was bitter. I don't know about you, but I don't like hanging around with bitter people. I just don't. I don't want to hear you complaining. I don't want to hear you murmuring. I don't want to hear you griping. Especially when you're one of God's people. But anyways, so Naomi comes back with Ruth. Ruth happens to marry a guy named what? Boaz. Now that happened to be one of Naomi's what? Relatives. He happened to be quite wealthy. Well, Boaz and Ruth have a boy. His boy happens to be Obed. Right? Then Obed has a boy. His name happens to be Jesse. Jesse has seven sons, and the youngest one happens to be who? David. You see where I'm going? And so David is saying, man, you know what? I got to get them out of this country. You know, Saul's trying to take me out. He might want to take my parents out as well. And so he gets them out of the country, and he says, you know what? I got relatives back in Moab. And I hope that they take care of my mom and dad. Isn't that wonderful? You see, David was interested in taking care of his parents. You know, one of the saddest things I think is that there's plenty of parents out there, maybe one of the spouses has passed or whatever, but they need help. And you know who's not there for them? Their own flesh and blood. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, and some of them claim to be Christian people. You know, my Bible says we are to honor our parents. Not just when we're young. Not just when we're in the home. We're supposed to honor them the entirety of our life. And yet some abandon them. I'm telling you, it's not right. They could help them out, but they don't do so. I was talking to a guy where my father lives in that compound. It, you know, it's one of those like villages, 55 or older. But he was telling me his wife is sick. I mean, she's not all there anymore. You know, she's still got a little bit of, she's still cognizant in some way, but her physical body is deteriorating rapidly. Well, he calls his son, and this guy's a nice guy, you know, and he calls his son and says, hey, listen. He says, your mom's not going to be around much longer. We haven't seen you in like 15 years. 15 years. He says, why don't you come down and see her before she passes? This is what he said. I don't have anybody to watch my dogs. Watch my dogs. Wow. You know, we owe our parents a whole lot. You know, they took care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves. They fed us. They diapered us. Right? They did everything for us, instructed us, and trained us. Well, when we're in that condition, why do they abandon us? sad. Thank God David sets a good example here, doesn't he? He wanted his parents taken care of. Now notice the faith here. He says, you know what? I don't know how things are going to work out, but God's going to work it out. I know what God, he says, till I know what God will do for me. He said, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but when it does, then I'll get my mom and dad. You know, that kind of reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're getting ready to be thrown in the fiery furnace, right? And they said, well, you know what? Our God can deliver us from that fiery furnace. But if not, know for sure, King, we're not bound down to that statue. It ain't happening. Now, Shadrach, if he got thrown in there and God didn't deliver him, his name would have been changed to Noshak because he wouldn't be around. But the fact of the matter is, they were all three delivered, weren't they? And there was a fourth one in there with him. And Nebuchadnezzar said, man, I think he's like the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And God did deliver them, didn't he? You know what? We don't know how things are going to turn out. But I'm going to tell you this. We just need to keep operating by faith and let God be God. We don't need to go to scamming. We don't need to go to scheming. We don't need to use our human reasoning. We just need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And things will be all right. Well, you'd say, what about James? It didn't turn out too good for him. He got beheaded. Oh, how bad that is to go to heaven. He was delivered from this earth. That's not a bad thing. All right, we'll have some more